multitude of options. Oh, what a pose! It was Andy Cole who takes the goal superbly.
In from Ronaldo. Can go anywhere, and it's in! John O'Shea has scored for United! It is a smash and grab raid at Anfield!
And it comes towards Welbeck, missed his header, and there's the equaliser! Chicharito!
Again.
Born to score goals! And he's got a big one here for United at Anfield! 1-1!
Hello and welcome to Red Voices, the official Manchester United podcast. I'm Helen McConnell, and this week I'm joined by Alan Bostock, Mark Froggatt and Gemma Thompson. Coming up in today's show, we reflect on United's 1-0 win against Turkish champions Galatasaray and hear from the boss.
But Robin van Persie, to me, takes great penalty kicks. Don't see why he shouldn't have taken them.
We look back on a great day for debutants Powell and Butner against Wigan.
Good run by Alex Butner. He's still going as well. What a fantastic run! Oh, he scored! What a moment! Alexander Butner! He'll never forget this day. Powell thought about the shot. Nick Powell!
Oh, dear me, what is going on here?
What a day for the debutants!
We get excited about one of the biggest fixtures in the football calendar. And finally, we announce the winner of our Anders Lindegaard shirt competition. OK, let's start with the Champions League game. Adam, we'll start with you. Bit of a frustrating night for United.
It was. It was one of those nights where patience was key. We scored very early on. Of course, that was the perfect start, really, to the Champions League campaign this season. But if we expected the Reds to sort of bang in the goals thereafter, it just didn't happen. If anything, Galatasaray looked the most likely team to score the next goal in the game, certainly in the first half, when the manager said we were giving the ball away quite cheaply. So it was a tough test, and really it was all about the result eventually, and we got the result and should feel happy that we've got those 3 points on the board.
Could it be a more difficult encounter away from home, Gemma?
Yeah, I mean, I think we all know that atmosphere is going to be really intimidating, isn't it? And they, I was quite impressed with them last night, actually. They were very, very good on the counter-attack. Mm. And I'd actually been to see the manager this morning for his magazine column, and he was saying that, he said, teams like Galatasaray, they set up for Europe. They build their teams to play in Europe, and, you know, they pat the midfield and then they, you know, they break. And he said they've obviously got players with experience of British football as well, and you could see that. But I think, you know, as Adam said, patience was key. You never really felt we were in too much danger last night. But, you know, it was the main thing was getting the win. The home form was the disappointing aspect of last season's campaign, and it was key we started off with 3 points, you know, last night.
In terms of the goal, happy to see Michael Carrick get a goal as always, Mark?
Yeah, it's always good, isn't it? Has it been 3 years now, I think, since he scored in Europe? Yeah, so that was nice to see. I mean, he could have gone down for the penalty, but given the way we're taking them at the minute, I think it was the right decision to stick it in. And I'm a huge fan of Carrick.
But would have got the keeper sent off, perhaps, if he'd done that?
Yeah, but I mean, you're questioning the kind of morals of the game if you're doing things like that. I think if you've got an open goal and you can stick it in, I think you should do.
Yeah, I don't think it goes through your mind, does it? I think he himself said afterwards that, you know, he doesn't get many chances to score, so he was more determined to put the ball in the net. I think, you know, if you've got an extra second or two to contemplate it, then, yes, I suppose you might weigh up the pros and cons and go, yeah, we'll take the card and off he goes. But, yeah, it did well. I mean, the build-up was beautiful.
Great play from Kagawa, yeah.
Brilliant. And Van Persie.
And I think it's great that Michael's kept his place from the off this season. He's played every minute of every match so far, hasn't he? And the manager's finding a way for both he and Kagawa to play together. Scholesy, of course, is still in there as well. So I'm really pleased for Michael. It sort of kept a good start to the season
for him.
He's
made a good start personally as well, because Sir Alex has said in the past he doesn't really get going until about November. I think last season, the Swansea game away in November was his first start, because he traditionally starts slowly. So it's nice to see him get going early this time around.
It is indeed. Now, everybody has been talking about Nani taking that penalty. Gemma, were you surprised that Van Persie didn't pick up the ball?
Yeah, I was sat in my seat in the Stretford end, and I was, as soon as the referee blew for penalty, I looked straight at Van Persie, and he was kind of just, he was stood there, and then I saw Nani go straight to get the ball, and I was like, Okay, right.
There was a moment when Van Persie was tying his boots, and I thought, is he tying his boots to get ready for this penalty? Or...
I really wanted Van Persie to take it last night. I think he should have done, obviously. You know, can all say this in hindsight, but I just think it would have been good for him to step back up after missing that one at Southampton. But I don't know, we just can't seem to get them in at the moment. I think, obviously, Nani, you know, the credit to the keeper, but he did his that thing Ronaldo used to do and just waited.
Yeah.
Everyone around me was just like, just blast it. And he just kind of felt like we needed to do that.
Is that showing a lack of confidence, do you think, Mark?
No, I think we're just trying to be too clever a little bit. I mean, aside from the obvious disappointment of missing penalties, I think what the fans are bemoaning most is the fact that we're kind of messing about with our penalties instead of just hitting them with conviction and getting it in. You know?
Yeah.
So I think maybe we should kind of assess who's taking them for the next game.
Obviously, the big news last night as well on 79 minutes was that Darren Fletcher made a return. How much of a boost is that for the team?
It's a tremendous boost for the squad. The fans really enjoyed that moment. Clearly, it's of most importance to Darren himself because he's had a really rough time. There were some doubters wondering whether he'd ever play in the first team again. He's played a number of reserve team games, but in none of those did he sort of particularly stand out. I think he just had to basically get minutes on the clock, get his match fitness back, and while the last 11 to 15 minutes. Doesn't tell you that he's completely there yet. It's certainly a very good start, and I'm sure he was delighted to be part of a big European evening. You know, one of those occasions where in the past he really has excelled. I mean, he made his debut, of course, for the club in a game much like last night against Basel all those years ago. So I hope there's much more to come from him, but let's wait and see.
Yeah, I think it's important not to get too carried away with this. I don't think he's going to be starting games anytime soon. I mean, as Adam said, he's played for the 21s a few times. I went to watch him at Stalybridge Bridge Celtic last week, I think it was, and he's clearly a cut above that level, which you'd expect, but I don't think he's anywhere near the kind of first team levels yet, so we'll wait and see how his fitness develops.
I think the problem is that top flight football is so unforgiving. I think if you're even just 2%, 3% off your game, you can get, you can find it difficult.
Especially, quite a high-paced game last night as
well. It was actually quite unlike the classic traditional Champions League game of chess. It was nothing like that. It was more like a traditional FA Cup tie, if you will. So I think it would have been a tough ask for him to play much more than he did. But let's hope he's involved again. Maybe even next week against Newcastle in the Capital One Cup.
What I think would be interesting, I wonder if he might need to change his game a bit in some ways. You know, the manager might say to him, look, you're going to have to look at how you play in terms of how we manage when we play you. He might have a different type of role to play from now on. But I guess, I actually asked the manager about him this morning and he just said, we've just got to take our time with him, see how he does. And I think that's all you can really ask.
I think last night was more about confidence boost, wasn't it?
Definitely.
Kind of keeping the progress going rather than just going a little bit stale in the 21s.
Yeah.
In terms of Group H and how it stands now, last season, of course, we only had one home win in the whole group of Champions League, so at least we've got that far already, Adam.
We have, yes, we have, and we're playing another Romanian side, of course, in this competition. Last year, as you say, we had one home win against Galati. And that was relatively straightforward. Cluj surprised me last night, going to Braga and winning. I mean, the Portuguese teams are no mugs. They've got great experience of particularly the Europa League in recent years. So it sets up our next game in the Champions League very nicely. We go to Romania or Transylvania, as some people like to call it. And we'll see how that one pans out.
OK, well, let's now hear from the boss. He spoke to MUTV after the game.
Well, we expected a toughest game, from all the video evidence of the games and also had them watch the last two games. They have some very experienced players, some good footballers. I know it's epitomises the present-day Champions League. Everyone has a goal. I thought our biggest weakness was in the first half. I kept giving the ball away, and every time we gave the ball away, they counter-attacked with a great threat. And I was glad at half-time to get that. And it was a good moment for us at half-time. Because the second half were much more composed, much more solid at the back. They never made any chances. The couple of shots from edge of box from David De Gea handled very well. But we missed a host of chances, which, obviously, it keeps you on the edge. It keeps them in the game. And particularly the penalty kick right after half-time. If we score that, we probably would have been very comfortable after that.
Third successive penalty miss, is that becoming a real problem now?
Well, I don't want one now. But no, I think that obviously, I thought Robin should have taken the penalty kick. Maybe the confusion arises with the fact that Sheeter took it on Saturday, yeah, and Robin wasn't available, and today that Nani grabbed the ball because he wanted to take it, and it's turned out disappointing.
Is Wayne coming back soon to take them?
Well, but Robin van Persie, to me, takes great penalty kicks. Yeah. I don't see why he shouldn't have taken them.
Old Trafford delighted when Darren Fletcher came back on, of course. I haven't seen him for 10 months, a special moment that.
Yeah, it's a long time he's been out. I think that the support recognised what a difficult time the lads had, and that was a mark of respect to a real honest and tremendous young lad. I was pleased for him. I think he didn't do great, but he didn't do badly. And taking into consideration his first game in, as you said, 10 months, I thought it was a year. I think he's acquitted himself very well.
OK, well, United, of course, eased a victory against Wigan, as we thought they would, overcoming an early penalty miss to run riot in the second half. Was it an enjoyable afternoon for you, Gemma, to see lots of goals here at Old Trafford?
Yeah, it was nice to see. You can never tire of seeing too many goals. And I think it was just a significant afternoon for the debutants, really. Bootner, very impressive down the left. You can see he's quite rough around the edges still, but his determination and will to get forward, and he looks solid defensively as well. And you can see that he really wants to push for that place. He's not just come here just to watch from the bench. And how brilliant for him to score on his debut, giving him loads of confidence. And he's a skillful player as well. You could see that. And Nick Powell as well. We all know he's got a great strike on him, and he's only 18. That will have done him, the world of good coming on in front of 75,000 and, giving him a taste for more.
I mean, what's key with the youngsters, what I always look for when they come on and make these debuts, is the kind of mental attitude. Some of them come on and can be a bit nervy and a bit scared, and it never quite works out for them. But, these lads have come on and they wanted the ball at every occasion, and they've ended up scoring two goals, and they showed no fear at all, which bodes for a positive future.
They didn't show it. They both spoke, didn't they? They both admitted to having nerves after the game. And fair play if they were able to mask it so well and also cope with it. It's natural to be nervous going into a game like that. I was watching Nick Powell play for Crewe last season. He came to my local club, Macclesfield, and destroyed us and just looked far too good for that level, which is then League Two. But to go from, crowds of several thousand to that on Saturday, what a step up. But as Mark says, he seemed to take to it pretty well, and to cap it with a goal is clearly a dream. I'm interested in the manager's views on Nick Powell. I think he's very excited about Nick's potential. I think there's almost a glint in his eye, and he's just delighted to have him on board. And we won't see him every week, may not even see him every month, but He's in the stable now, shall we say?
Well, like you said, for the manager to come out and say after the game, we hope he can fill Paul Scholes' boots. It was some statement, and quite a lot, for Nick Powell to hear himself, I'm sure. But what I thought was funny, Nick Powell was 6 months old when Paul Scholes made his debut for United, and it's just so funny. Scholes came off the pitch when Powell came on, and both, going strong really now.
Absolutely. Just in terms of Alexander Bittner, Adam, a very attacking fullback, much like Evra and Raphael, in fact. Is the game changed now where we don't see maybe traditional defensive fullbacks and they're more attacking now?
It appears to be the way, doesn't it? And it's interesting that, we don't... It's not like we need our fullbacks for width, because we've always had great wingers. We've still have got great wingers in Nani and Antonio Valencia and others who can play out there. So... I think it's certainly the United style to attack. You go right back to the 70s when we had a sort of swashbuckling team under Tommy Doherty, and the fullbacks then were encouraged to get forward. I interviewed a gentleman called Mike Duxbury, who some of us might recall, and he said, we were just encouraged to get forward at every point from right back in his case. So in a way, we've always had that tradition, but you see it's around the leagues now. And pundits seem to be forever moaning about fullbacks who can't defend. But
yeah,
yeah, To be honest, I think the key with Bootner is how he defends. I can't wait to see him tested against against the proper winger.
He didn't have a lot to do against Wigan, did he? Yeah.
Because the kind of grumbles about Evra in the last season or two has been his defensive kind of work. I mean, he's brilliant going forward. It's just every now and again he might slip.
But is it because, you know, he does attack so well? None of us are getting any younger. You know, the challenge of getting up and back, you know, both ends of the pitch, it's a tough ask, isn't it? So
I think as well you have to look at the wingers getting back to help the defenders
to
as
cover.
Well.
Yeah.
I think in general our wingers have always been very good at doing that. But it's them having that discipline as well to tuck in with the fullback to help out. But I think Matt's right though. That will be the test to see.
Perhaps the reason why, you know, we may have struggled at the back on the left flank is because we haven't got a settled left winger. One of the reasons why Rafael came on so well last season was because he played with Valencia for about 10 games in a row and formed a partnership.
I suppose that's true. I mean, if you look at when Patrice Evra, you know, and he's not far off his peak now, but when he was having his absolute best campaigns, I'm sure he had a very regular partner in Giggsy, probably. That's a valid point.
We've talked obviously about the defence, but let's go one step back. Lindegaard spoke to us last week about getting back to basics against Wigan, and he wanted a clean sheet, he told us last week, and he got one, Gemma.
Yeah, always. I don't think that's what goalkeepers pride themselves on, don't they? And, you know, will have sort of done in the world of good as well. And I think De Gea last night looked strong, you know, made a couple of good saves. And after, you know, the manager said that he's, you know, at the moment he wants to give both experience of, you know, English football, we might see a bit of chopping and changing still in that area. And if they can keep keeping clean sheets when they come in, then great.
Yeah, that's perfect, isn't it? To pick two goalkeepers in two different games and both, as you say, come out with the same result. I think De Gea was slightly busier against Galatasaray than Lindegaard was against Wigan, and he came up with trumps with a couple of blinding saves. But yeah, I think we've got some great options now throughout the team, and that includes goalkeeper.
Okay, well, obviously our next league game is perhaps the one everybody looks forward to in the calendar, Liverpool away. Are you excited about that one, Adam?
I am. I'm not as excited as I've been in previous years, and I think that's possibly because of where Liverpool are at the moment. I mean, they're just not the force of old. They're taking baby steps towards a new direction, it would seem, under Brendan Rodgers. It's interesting because the manager, over recent years, has been sort of quite determined to put it out there as Liverpool being the derby, you know, the biggest game of the season. And you wonder partly if that's a dig at the true rivals of the day, like Chelsea, Arsenal and, of course, City. But, yeah, for me personally, it doesn't now create the same feeling that City does and going to the Etihad. But nonetheless, it's a game we want to win, of course it is.
How difficult is it going to be up there?
I think it's going to be really hard. I mean, you kind of throw the phone book out the window for these games, especially with Liverpool. I mean, I have to kind of disagree with you there, Adam. It's still my number one game for me. I think it always will be until, you know, I hope it doesn't happen, but until City win the same amount of titles and cups, you know. Going to Anfield's always tough, and we haven't got a great record in the last few seasons, so I think it's going to be really difficult. And to be honest, if we get a draw, I don't think it's a bad result, and a win would be amazing.
Adam, it's going to be a very emotional day for all Liverpool fans, of course, but hopefully it will be a nice tribute up there this weekend.
Yeah, it'll be very difficult for a lot of people involved. It's their first home game since the Hillsborough independent panel published its findings. You know, Sir Alex spoke this week about how disturbed, I guess, and upset people were by the findings. And he said that, you know, he and Manchester United will give Liverpool all the support they need at this difficult time. You always hope with these kind of fixtures that it'll be all about the football from the time that the referee blows the first whistle. Prior to that, there'll be the tributes, the 96 balloons being released, etc. I mean, you just hope that fans on both sides can rise to the occasion. We had our worries, didn't we, when City came here, and we were marking 50 years since the Munich anniversary, and City fans, you know, observed the minute silence impeccably. And you just hope it's one of those days where the fans get it right. And perhaps then we'll be talking about something that goes on during the game. And when I say that, I also hope we're talking about good football during the game, because clearly this fixture's been marred by other recent incidents as well.
Just in terms of that, Mark, we can't pass this conversation without talking about the handshake. Hopefully it goes with no problems. Yeah. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I read something, I don't know how true this is, I read something that Liverpool are going to force Suarez to shake Evra's hand. I hope that's the case. I mean, it gets a bit tiresome now, doesn't it? We kind of find ourselves talking about handshakes every other week. I remember the kind of corresponding fixture last season at Old Trafford, and I was in the press box, and I think every journalist in there was more focused on a handshake than the 90 minutes that followed, you know. So hopefully, as Adam says, you know, at the end of the game, we're talking about football and not something, a gesture that didn't happen.
OK, Gemma, in terms of goalkeepers, obviously De Gea played here in the Champions League game. Is a more physical game like Liverpool more suited to Lindegaard? Because, of course, Andy Carroll last year, I remember, just sat on top of De Gea the whole time. Is this more suited for Lindegaard, do you think?
It's a tricky one, isn't it? My gut feeling says I'd quite like to see De Gea playing, really, but I just wonder if he will go with Lindegaard. I'm not sure. I really don't know. I'd like to see De Gea. I see him as, you know, the number one and the man who's going to be there for the future. I'm a big fan of Lindegaard's, but I'd like to see De Gea have a run in the side. I think he did look very good last night. He'll have taken confidence from the clean sheet. And, you know, overall, really, for going to Anfield on Sunday, I really feel like we're due a result and a performance more than anything. Mm. We've gone the last few years and just haven't performed at all.
Well, it's nearly, you know, nearly 5 years, isn't it, since we won that?
Well, yeah, and it just feels like even when Liverpool...
Tevez
of all people.
Before that, it was
John O'Shea, the same yeah, year, previous it, season.
But it just feels like when we've gone there, Liverpool haven't always been in great form, but they've managed to raise the game for it, because it is the big one, obviously, for them. And I'm like Mark, it's the big one for me. I feel like we're going to get a result on Sunday, and De Gea for me.
So you'd rather beat Liverpool? Let's get this right. I mean, everyone's opinion, of course, you're entitled to it, but you would rather beat Liverpool than City. I'm sure you'll want to beat
both.
I
personally wouldn't. I'd definitely rather beat Man City.
That changes the question. Which is the biggest game for you?
It's completely different. It's on the context. In the context of the title race, City is a bigger game. But in terms of fans and what it means, Liverpool by a mile for me.
But if you're asking me who I'd rather beat, it would depend on the time. And City obviously going to be challenges.
Interesting. It is interesting.
I'd take a draw on Sunday saying that.
No, you can't say that, Gemma. It's back and out.
Liverpool's the big one.
Just talking about Andy Carroll there. That saga hasn't really helped Brendan Rodgers. Bit of a shock when he went out on loan there. How difficult has it been of a start for him, for Brendan Rodgers?
Very difficult. I was actually at their first league game away at West Brom. Earlier this season, United didn't play, of course, till the Monday night. So I filled my Saturday afternoon by going to watch some football at the Hawthorns in the Midlands. And West Brom were great. Liverpool, though, were poor. I mean, certainly from half-time onwards, they were abject. And part of the problem was that man Suarez. He just, you know, he just could not hit a barn door, sat on the latch that day. I noticed earlier he's top of the list of players with shots off target with 12. I think about 9 of them were in that particular game. He just, for all his skills and endeavour to get behind the back four, his accuracy is a
we're
problem.
We're not complaining.
Well, we won't complain if he has another day like that on Sunday, of course. But yeah. I thought Carroll was turning the corner towards the end of last season. I thought he was looking reasonably decent, and the potential for a Carroll-Suarez partnership, I think, was certainly there on paper.
Under Dalglish, but when you look at Rodgers, it doesn't fit into his ethos at all, and so I wasn't that surprised he got rid of him. What was surprising is he sold him and didn't get a replacement. To be fair, I think they thought they were going to sign Dempsey
and he
fell through at the last minute, and he went to Spurs. So he's a bit lumbered. And they've had a tricky kind of start to the season. I mean, they've had tough fixtures, but I think they might come through it once they kind of get easier games. They've signed Joe Allen. He's a good player. Mm. If they can get him to work well with Gerrard, I think they might start moving forward.
OK, let's look at some key battles that might arise. Firstly, Gemma, we'll start with you. RVP v Reina.
Do we not think Rooney's going to make a shock appearance? Could do. No, Van Persie will definitely play. I think he has to play. They know each other well, don't they? Van Persie's come up against Liverpool in the past, and to know that this is the type of game when you need your big players, you know, to perform and to pull it out of the bag for you. And if he gets the service he needs, you know, he's one of the best finishers around. And we know Pepe Reina's not had a great start to the season, which hopefully bodes well for us.
Let's hope so. Adam, in the middle of the park, Gerard v Carrick.
Yeah, well, as I said earlier, I've been really impressed with Michael Carrick's start to the season. I hope that continues on Sunday. Gerrard remains Liverpool's talisman. They really need him to play well if they're going to get a result against against United, or indeed against anyone for that matter. He does have that awful habit of playing well against us, you know, home and away.
Except when he got sent off here.
Well, there was that one, but the one that goes from my mind is the one where he ran to the camera and a horrible image of him, yeah, you know, blowing kisses and whatnot, you know. But we'll see. We'll see. I'd like to favour Carrick in that particular head-to-head, if it's how it is.
And in terms of Sterling v Raphael, new kid on the block. I think I watched him a couple of years ago in the FA Youth Cup. Very impressive, and he's made a quick introduction.
Well, it's incredible. He's 17 years old, and he's came in this season with a bang. He's played four games. I think he's made four starts under Rodgers. He's clearly got faith in him. And it seems Roy Hodgson has as well, because he called him up for the England squad against Ukraine. So he's a kid with great talent. He's got no fear, he's adventurous. So I think Raphael's got a job on his hands on Sunday.
OK, score predictions then. Gemma?
2-1 to United.
Adam?
I think we'll win with a couple of goals. 2-0, maybe even 3-1.
OK, Mark?
I'm going to go with 1-1 based on our kind of last five visits to Anfield.
OK, well, thanks to everyone who entered last week's competition to win a signed Anders Lindegaard top. The question was, what number did Anders wear before picking up number 13 this season? And the answer was, of course, number 34. So well done to George Jones from Prenton in the Wirral for winning that signed shirt. OK, thank you to Mark, to Adam and to Gemma. I've been MUTV's Helen McConnell, and thank you for listening. Bye-bye.